Thank you, Tyler. Let's turn our Bible to the book of Proverbs this morning. The great subject of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom, the wisdom of God. We know that the Bible gives us the wisdom of God for our lives. And there are many different attributes of wisdom. Now, as we think about the thought of wisdom today, we need to, of course, ask ourselves, if the wise one, the Lord Jesus Christ, has rubbed off on our life. And this morning, I just want to present a very simple message on the marks of a wise man. The marks of a wise man. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we have some very cut and dried situations. There is the four different kinds of people: the wise man, the fool, the simple one, the scorner. Then there is the wicked, and then there are the righteous. And the Bible categorizes these people as fitting into a specific category in life. Now, all of us are born with a certain degree of foolishness, simplicity, wickedness in our heart. And we need to be affected by Jesus Christ, or we will die without instruction. Of course, as we think about these things, a challenge to Christians. And hopefully, young people, maybe you'll take a little test today. You can number it 1 through 7, and you can see if you pass the test or not of characteristics of a wise person. No one will be perfect in any one of these categories, but it will be a general principle of life. And so, the Bible, God is the one who does the categorizing. And it makes it pretty simple. We like to pretend everything is fine. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto man. And it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. We just justify wherever we're at. But the Bible kind of hits us right between the eyes and helps us to see things a little bit clearer in life. And so let's think of some of the marks of the wise man. So we're going to start right here in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The wise person is one who is constantly hearing and obeying the Bible. A wise man is one who is constantly hearing and obeying the Bible. Well, How does that look? What does that look like? Well, let's put it this way. If you don't read your Bible every day, well, it's pretty good mark you aren't very wise. If you don't read your Bible every day, you're not very wise. Now, as we think about this, how much should you read your Bible? Now, how much should a wise man read his Bible? Should a wise man, will a wise man read his Bible 5 minutes? Does that show that they really hunger for the Bible, reading the Bible 5 minutes a day? Well, I think that's pretty self-evident. When it says that wise men will hear, it is speaking about a great desire and practice of reading God's Word. And if you want to get the right prescription of reading your Bible, of seeking knowledge, you find it in chapter 2, don't you? Chapter 2, 1 through 4, it tells us the description of a person who is a wise man who is hearing the Word of God. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. Okay? Boy, there we start. Obeying, hearing the Bible, receiving its message, memorizing its truths, inclining your ear. That's, you know, that's purposeful action. Applying thy heart. God, what do you have for me today? Thou criest after knowledge. God, I'm desperate to know, know your will and know what's right. You seekest her as silver. Boy, I wonder, does the Bible give you get up and go? Isn't it amazing? You know, a person, to earn money, they can get a lot of get up and go. They can get up and they can go and they can go for it. It's get up and go. Well, we ought to have get up. The wise man has get up and go for the Bible. So, that's pretty simple. A wise man is one who hungers and thirst after the Word of God. You know, America doesn't need God much, does it? And the mega church doesn't need God much. You know, they might have a 15-minute sermon, and that's all they need. They don't need much. But the wise man, the Bible says, will hear. The wise man receives the Word of God, receives the commands of the Bible. Okay? Well, what about correction? The Bible tells us the wise man receives correction. Correction. You know, it's amazing. If you were a teacher, you could talk about every one of your students, and you could tell about the look on their face when they're corrected, right? You ever do that as a parent? Do you ever see the look on your child's face when you correct them? Well, the Bible tells us that a wise man receives correction. Correction. Are you wise? Do you receive correction? What's your response to correction? Do you like to be corrected? That's the mark of a wise man. They receive correction. Turn with me to Proverbs 6. Here we have an example of wisdom. And it's talking about the ant. It says, Proverbs 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, a wise person is one who is planning ahead, who is preparing ahead. A wise person prepares ahead. So I go to Subway and ask and get a sandwich and talk to the girl there. And she's about 18 years of age, maybe 16, 17. And I said, do you ever think about eternity? And she says, never. Never thought about eternity. I said, do you have any friends that have died? Friends your age? Yeah. I have a friend that died in a house fire. I said, do you think that if they were like you, they were ready for eternity? Obviously. It is amazing how many people, and you won't know this unless you ask people, unless you're witnessing, how many people don't think ahead. Now, you know, thinking ahead, preparing ahead, is really one of the key issues of life. Life is centered around preparing ahead. Now, it's kind of interesting, you talk to our missionaries. Those people that are from a good, nice, I guess you'd say a nice climate, like New Guinea or many parts of Africa, where they can grow things all year round, those people don't do well in planning ahead. They don't think about planning ahead because their lifestyle doesn't really require them to plan ahead. They have their first rainy season, and they have a garden, and they reap their garden, and then that's going to be have a short dry spell, and they're going to have another rainy season. They're going to have another garden, and some places of the world it's 3 times a year you can have a garden, or sometimes you can have a garden all year round. And what is some? It's many times true about those people. They're never prepared for an emergency. They're never prepared for a tragedy. They don't ever save any money. They don't ever have things on hand if something would call for a big amount of funds. Don't plan ahead. You know, life is really about planning ahead. Life is about planning ahead. Now, if you are a wise person, your whole life is about planning ahead. Now, if you're a little bit closer to the land, you realize that. You spend all summer when it's warm. You spend summer time getting your firewood ready for the winter. when wintertime comes, you are fixing your machinery. So when spring comes, you're ready. When whatever the season is, you're preparing for the next season. Now that's what the ants do. The ants in the summertime, they're working hard, they're getting food. What are they getting food for? Well, because you know in the wintertime, it's pretty hard to get food on top of the snow, isn't it? They're planning ahead. The wise person plans ahead. Now, spiritually, this is true. A wise person plans ahead for eternity. A wise person plans ahead for the day that they're going to meet Jesus Christ. A wise person plans for tomorrow. Prepares ahead. You know, that's what life's about. Preparing ahead. Everything in life is about preparing ahead. Whatever you do in life, there's some part of life that right now you are preparing ahead. That's wisdom. Now, one of our problems today is socialism. Socialism says the government will give you a handout so you don't have to plan ahead. Now, with our plant nursery, people always ask about, well, how do you water this tree? And I've been trying to tell our guys how you teach people how to water trees. And it's one of the hardest things to teach people, even your employees, how to water a tree. Okay. Now, there's two ways to water a tree. You can water the tree the Democratic way or the Republican way. Okay? If you want the tree to die, good chance to die, water it the Democratic way. And what you do is you take a hose and you put the hose right at the base of the tree and you do that two or three times a week. Okay? And so that you're watering the tree, but you're watering a Democratic tree. And what does that do? Well, that tree doesn't need to send out any roots. That tree doesn't need to make new roots. That tree has got water right at its base. That's it. Doesn't need anymore. You're providing it all. And if someone stops watering it, it's going to die. Because it's dependent on somebody else watering it. Now, if you water a tree with an overhead sprinkler, and you water the tree as well as all the ground around it maybe once a week, thoroughly, maybe once every 2 weeks, that tree will produce roots to go out into the ground surrounding it to get water. It's now become a Republican tree. It will now live because it has sent out roots to get water on its own. Dependency is not preparing ahead, is it? Dependency is not preparing ahead. Expecting your parents to do it for you all the time is not preparing ahead. Now, you know, simple things in life. You know, one thing that I resented a little bit when I was small, but that wasn't any big deal, was I never got any of my birthday money. And I never got any of my Christmas money. All the years I grew up, I never got any of my birthday money, and I never got any of my Christmas money. Well, I got it all right, but I never was allowed to spend it. I never spent any of my birthday money that I can ever remember, and I never spent any of my Christmas money all my years growing up, you know, as a young person, because we were told that you have to save for college. And so, 6 years old, birthday money, where to go? In the bank. Christmas money, you always got money from grandma, you know, at Christmas, where to go? One of my grandmas bought presents, and one of them didn't like buying presents. She always gave us money. Where did the money go? Went in the bank. Didn't spend any of it. Of course, we didn't tithe or anything, so didn't touch any of it. It went in the bank. Why? Because your life is about preparing ahead. Now, I wonder, you think about that. The Bible says the ant gathers her meat in the summer. Now, we find another important principle about the wise person, and that the principle is that the wise person, God, is their motivator. God is their motivator. Now, the ant doesn't have any ruler, doesn't have any guide, doesn't have anybody there with a stick, you know, telling them to work. There's no union boss, and there's no regular boss. No one is there measuring their work. They are self-motivated. And of course, the principle is that the wise person is a person who is motivated by God. They do need their parents. They do need authorities. But authorities and parents are those that are helping them to learn how to do right on their own. They don't resent parents. They don't resent authorities because they see these as people who are helping them learn how to be self-motivated. And bigger than that, motivated by God. Motivated by God. You know, there comes a day in which you know, we send our missionaries. So we have Brother Stephen Raines over there in Kenya. Do you think I call him up every week and ask him if he's reading his Bible? Do you think I call him up every week and ask him if he's going soul winning? Do you think I call him up every week and ask him if he's tithing? No, because, you know, you'd expect that a missionary, they've come to a place in their life they're motivated by God. Amen. You know, I didn't have anybody, I don't know if I've had anybody in this church in the last 20 years ask me if I read my Bible every day. In fact, I don't know, can't hardly remember if anybody ever did ask me that. Man, how are you going to know that the pastor's going to read the Bible if we aren't giving him a checkup every day? What if we don't have a questionnaire that we give the pastor every week and we ask him, you know, at the deacon's meeting, we ask our pastor, did he read the Bible every day? Well, guess what? That wouldn't be very good, would it? If you had to ask the pastor if he read his Bible every day. Well, that's what life is about, isn't it? Life is about being motivated by God. The wise person is motivated by God. Now, next, a wise person has wise counselors. A wise person, well, maybe we should go to this first one. They'll go together. A wise person has wise companions. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. A wise person has wise companions. Proverbs 13 verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what? A wise person has wise friends. A wise person has wise companions. Now, if you want to know if you're wise or you're unwise, doesn't matter what you think about yourself. Just look at your list of friends. Who you go places with, who you spend time with, what are they like? Now, let's give the right definition of wise. Now, we're talking about a biblical definition of wisdom. A biblical definition of wisdom, a wise person, is a person who is successfully living the Christian life. A person who is successfully living the Christian life. How would that work? Well, they may have had victory in life. They have victory over the issues of life. They aren't letting life destroy them. They have learned successfully. I remember one time a lady said, you know, we ought to have a ladies' Bible study, like the Bible says, where the old women teach the younger women. And she said, that would be good. And and so, but you got to know the rest of the story. So, one of the wisest ladies in the church gives this lady some advice. What do you think she did with that advice? She refused it. She refused it. She didn't want a Bible study where wise people are teaching younger people to do right. She was looking for someone to give her intellectual knowledge, but that's not the issue. A companion of wise men, people who have successfully lived the Christian life. You know, who is the number one counselor of teenagers? Anybody know? Yeah, teenagers. Guess what? The people who have not been skillful, who have not been successful in life, who have the least amount of experience of living successfully. Wow. They're companions. A wise person has wise companions. A wise person has wise companions. Chapter 10. A wise person has a glad father. A wise person has a glad father. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. Now, you know, this isn't kind of a question that you could really ask personally someone. You probably wouldn't want to ask some people this question. But a wise person has a glad father. I'm glad the choices he makes. I'm glad the friends he has. I'm glad for the places he goes. I'm glad how he's preparing for the future. I'm glad what he's done with his life. I'm glad how eternity is the most important thing in his life. Glad father. Another mark of a wise person, his strength. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. This is quite an interesting verse in the Bible. The context has a lot of interesting things to say about that. It says, a wise man is strong. A wise man is strong. Now, what do you mean, strong? Are we talking about a weightlifter like Tim Popinski? Is that what we're talking about? is that what we mean? I think the Bible has some interesting statements to make. It says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. The Bible says, a wise man retaineth riches, but a foolish man spendeth it up. I'm putting two verses together. Okay? There shall be oil and wine in the house of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. What is it saying? You see, a person who loves pleasure is going to be poor. You know, pleasure is very expensive. Do you know that? Pleasure is very expensive. And you know what? Pleasure is also very momentary. It says the wise man is strong. You know, I heard about Walworth County Fair, they have the big truck derby or whatever they have. I don't know what it's called. Monster trucks. And I heard that one tire, and apparently they think they have four tires on those things, one tire costs $7,000. You know, sorry, but you know what I thought? It immediately came to my mind, what foolishness, emptiness, $28,000 just for the tires. What a waste. And you know what it's for? Pleasure. King pleasure. That's all it's about, king pleasure. You know, what does it add to life? What does it add to society? What's the purpose? You know, I've told this illustration. A lady worked in a bank in distant state. And she said, you know, in that community, there were a lot of Asians people. She said, you know, the difference between Asian and American? She says, an Asian will come to the bank and deposit a dollar. Americans seldom come to a bank and deposit less than $100. I mean, I talk about a savings account. You know what I'm saying? Not a checking account. Savings account. And what this person was saying is that an American thinks, oh, dollar, that's nothing. Why should I save it? I'm just going to spend it. And she was saying an Asian would say a dollar, huh? That's got value. Now, who do you think had the most money in the bank? The Asian or the American?
The Asian.
The Bible says there is treasure to be desired. Let me say the whole verse. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. A wise man is strong. They don't live by their emotions. They don't live by momentary pleasure. They don't aren't motivated by simplistic urges. They aren't motivated by vanity of man. Life is in perspective. Life is in perspective. And all these issues out there, do not touch them. You know, there was this missionary who came from the field. He'd been in the field in the old days for 30, 40, 50 years. Hadn't been to America for 50 years. And he wrote, of course, he had really grown. And took him to, they said, we're going to take you to the department store downtown New York. They were really excited about taking this missionary and going to show him all these big shot stores and all the stuff there. They took him through these big department stores and they were really excited about, you know, questioning him after. And they said, what did you see? What did you see? How'd you like it? And did you see, you know, what was it exciting that you saw? He said, I didn't see anything I wanted. I didn't see anything I wanted. His life was not run by flippant, emotional pleasure. Wasn't run that way. Didn't mean anything to him. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 30, simple verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The focus of the wise person is the eternal. The focus of the wise person is eternal. He that winneth souls is wise. What is life about? What is life about? Life, the purpose of our life, the main focus of our life, is winning souls. That is the focus of a wise person. Winning souls. Now, you can do a lot of things in life, but the secret ingredient of everything that we do is the eternal. It's about reaching souls for Jesus. That's it. The focus is the eternal. The focus is what life's all about. Reaching souls for Jesus Christ. How would that look? That's a good question. How would that look? I think it ought to look like this. I think it ought to look like, well, you know what? If this last week I didn't talk to anybody about Jesus, we'd have to say, man, that week was a waste. That week was a waste. Did all this, spent this whole week, talk to not one soul about Jesus. That would, I think, give us an indication about whether we're wise or we're not wise. Right perspective of life. I'm sure that for some people, and this is true, I know for me, if I have a day that I'm not able to talk to someone about the Lord, I feel like that day was a failure. That day was a failure. My life was a failure that day. Because I didn't get to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Could be a multitude of factors. But these are some simple truths of wisdom. The Bible says life, the way of life is above. To the wise. It has to do with heaven. It has to do with God. Life is centered around God. Now, hopefully, some of the young people took the test this morning. Hopefully, some adults took the test. A wise person is continually anxious to hear the Word of God. Anxious to learn God's Word. You know, in my devotions in the morning, I have a section of spiritual truths to review. And the first truth is we have a sinful nature. And I remember oftentimes I say, well, Romans 3 says about the sinful nature. It says, no man seeketh after God. And you know, there's many times when I spent an hour looking at the news on the computer, and went to bed without reading the Bible at night. Read it in the morning, but not in the morning. Not night. And next morning, I look at that and say, you know, that's a sin nature. Sin nature doesn't seek after God. That's what we're like. We don't seek God. We don't seek the Word of God. We don't hunger after God. That's a sin nature. And I have to confess that and say, Lord, I wasted my time. I didn't seek you. Wise man will hear. Wise man will receive instruction. A wise man has wise friends. A wise man prepares ahead. A wise man has a glad father. A wise man is strong. A wise man gives his life to win souls. Simple truths. But God is looking at our life. And we need to ask ourselves if we're wise. We need to ask ourselves if God thinks that we are wise. We need to ask ourselves, are we comparing ourselves with people or are we comparing ourselves to the Bible? And then I think this last thought, thinking of the disciples, and they were witnessing, talking about Christ and refusing to bow down to the orders to not witness. And the Bible says even their enemies noticed that they had been with Jesus. And as you think about these truths, it's really kind of a reflection of how much Jesus has rubbed off on us. Wisdom is a result of knowing Jesus, spending time with Jesus, allowing him to affect our lives. And it is the great need of our life to go to God Word and be able to say, God says that this is wisdom and this is what I desire to be in my life. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. And we thank you for clear truths in the Bible about what wisdom is about. And Lord, help us to be honest today as we think about if we meet the standard or if there is truly a working in our life in each one of these areas. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be humble. In each one of these areas where we need to submit to you more, allow you to work in our lives more, allow you to change us more, that truly we would be considered among the wise. And Lord, I pray that you would help those who are here today who are being detracted from the right path by wrong friends, wrong opinions, wrong values, that they would see that the foolishness of the world is robbing them of what counts in life. And I pray that, Lord, you help especially young people. Lord, for we know foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I pray that you'll help young people to respond to their parents' training and discipline. They would see the foolishness that is in their heart and turn from it on their own. And Lord, seek to be have wisdom from you and seek you so you might make them what they ought to be for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help even our young people to make definite decisions about what they're going to do with their life and the Lord Jesus Christ and the wisdom of the Word of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and the Lord is speaking to your heart, especially you're a young person and you say, you know, I see some definite areas where I need to allow God to work in my life. Maybe there's been some specific things and that kind of touched on your soul, and you're ready today to make a decision about that. You're ready to make a decision about such things as being in God's Word every day. Maybe you're willing to make a decision about being strong and not being sucked in by all the pleasures and the foolishness of the world. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your time, how much time you spend in the Bible. Maybe it's an attitude about being corrected by your parents. Multitude of things, but the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, this morning, and you're ready to make a definite decision about one or many of these things this morning before the Lord. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. There's an important decision I need to make today. I know what it is, and I'm making it right now. And you say, just by lifted hand, that I'm making that decision for God today, okay? All right, I see a number of different hands, okay? Good, good, amen. Others, okay. Maybe you're not a child. Maybe you're gray-headed like me. And you say, you know, the Lord has spoken to my heart today. And there's some truths here that the Spirit of God has helped me to see that needs to get some specific attention in my life. And you say, you know, I need to make a decision as well. And by an uplifted hand before you, but before God, you'd say, yep, me too. The Lord's speaking to my heart today. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, amen. Maybe you're here today and you haven't made the wisest decision of life, and that's accepting Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. And you need to be saved. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today? Just lift up your hand. Okay, I see that hand. Okay, I'll pray for you. Okay. Lord, now thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that these are simple truths, can be a great help to us. Pray you'd help all those young people today that heard something from you today and made a decision about it. And Lord, pray that even now in their heart, they would make plans of how they're going to keep that decision and bring it to pass in their life. I pray, Lord, for the people of God as well, older ones, that you have spoken to our hearts and decisions have been made. I pray that, Lord, you'd use this day, this decision in their life, and may they as well be as serious and as pointed as others that need to make these decisions. We pray that you'd be glorified. Pray for this soul that needs to be saved, that, Lord, they would see that they're born a sinner, and that because of that they've sinned, they've fallen short of your glory, and that, Lord, only you can give them a new heart, and only you can save them from their sin, and they need to turn to you in repentance and turn to you as their Lord and Savior. May that be today or very soon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.